Well, it's great to be back with you this week. I heard that last Sunday when my husband was here, he spilled all the dirt. Oh, he thinks he did. But you see, he, as he knew, was on tape. So of course I heard the dirt. But the joke was really on him because there's no tape where I went. And of course, we did a pulpit swap, and I had the joy of being in Delano, which is a very unusual thing for United Methodist pastors. Usually when we leave, and you don't go back. But since I am the pastor's wife of the church I used to serve, they do, you know, we did decide that a year and a half into it was time to go back. And so I thank you for letting us do the swap so that you could meet him and I could spend the morning in Delano. I joke, but I did actually at the end of the service fully give permission to the congregation for them to tell some tall fish stories about whatever happened that morning, and he did get texts about what may or may not have happened. So it's always fun to keep your spouse on their toes. Speaking of on their toes and just finding enjoyment in one another. You know, this winter we are in the midst of a worship series about what it takes to have a remarkable life. And I hope that one of the things that you wind up taking away from this series is that it's often the ordinary practices that wind up having an extraordinary impact on our lives. And sometimes those are practices that maybe we're aware of, but often they're ones that we have no idea, you know, for ourselves or maybe even in the world. And today's scripture lessons are those examples of sometimes folks doing extraordinary things and not even realizing what a blessing they are in the world. And in this particular scripture readings, we hear stories about, you know, things like offering hospitality, and in the sharing of caring for someone in need, how we often are able to see the faith, we are able to receive God in ways that we hadn't even anticipated. And there's lots that we could talk about when it comes to the importance of hospitality in our lives and the ways that we show good care in the world. But one of the things I especially wanted to lift up this morning as we kind of think about remarkable lives and the practice of hospitality is that subtler theme in the scriptures about how aware we are of the impacts that we have and being able to see God in the midst of the things that we do. Both scripture lessons really encourage us to recognize that when we show generosity, you know, we are able to meet God in a very special way. And they're encouraging us to be able to be aware and attentive of those things in our lives. So this morning, since we're in the middle of winter, and sometimes, you know, when you get to this point in February and you are really rethinking your life choices about living in Minnesota, it's easy to kind of let our awareness slip a little bit. So I want to do a little baseline thing this morning where in just a moment, we're going to all take a test. Now, it's a short video test. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to answer anything out loud. But you are going to have to pay attention, and you're going to be asked something in this video. If you have already seen this video, this will be a memory test to see if you remember the answer to the question they're about to ask. It originally appeared about 15 years ago as a British commercial. So I am going to have us do kind of a wake-up call, see how we do with our awareness test, and then we're going to talk a little bit more about what it means to be aware. Let's watch.
This is an awareness test. How many passes does the team in white make?
Go!
The answer is 13. But did you see the moonwalking bear?
Go!
If I were to replay that same video, I promise the moonwalking bear really was there the whole time. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands to see which of you actually saw the moonwalking bear the first time. I will tell you that the first time I saw this video, I did not see the moonwalking bear, but I was really pumped that I got the answer right to the question. I was like, I knew exactly how many times that ball had passed. I win the test. I pass the test, you know. And then, of course, with the jokes on me, because I missed the other thing. Now, the end of that commercial said, it's easy to miss something you're not looking for. It's easy to miss something you're not looking for. And if I were to summarize up the scripture readings, that's what they're saying. It's easy to miss something you're not looking for. And Jesus and the writers of the New Testament are constantly helping to encourage us maybe to be looking for something different and to have our eyes open. And so today, as we think about those practices that make our lives remarkable, I want to spend a little bit of time talking about how we pay attention and maybe take our own awareness tests. Now, in the Bible, they often talk about opportunities for hospitality as moments for our awareness tests, which in some level sounds a little counterintuitive because we often might think about the importance of prayer and scripture study and, you know, those kinds of works of piety and the importance, and they are important for us to get ready. But really, when the rubber hits the road, it's when you're out in the world and the ball's being like thrown around in a million ways, right? And that's when God has the opportunity to present God's self in just new and wonderful ways. And so we are, in our lives of faith, encouraged to step out with acts of hospitality. And God is constantly inviting us to see if we can find Jesus when we're doing those things. But it is so easy to get caught just counting how many balls go around too, right? Especially when you're trying to do something nice for other people, right? Like, did I get all the things right? Are all the supplies here? Is everything ready for the person? You know, it's the Mary and Martha thing. And we get lost. And God is constantly inviting and drawing us back into what we need to be paying our attention with. As I've been thinking about this, it's easy to miss something you're looking for, and kind of how we can use these acts of hospitality, whether they be informal in our lives or maybe something we do that's a little bit more public, I've been thinking about ways as a church that we continually encourage one another to practice those acts of hospitality, and the ways that we can then grow in our abilities to see God in new and wonderful ways. And of course, I know that we have an abundance of things that we're going to be able to do and practice with one another as we get that new kitchen, and I'm excited to do that with you. But I don't have any of those stories yet because we haven't done it. So I had to go back and think a little bit about previous practices that I've done with churches and ways that God has shown up. And the wonderful thing is that there are lots of wonderful stories that I have where I could talk about how, God showed up in ways that I wasn't necessarily expecting, and it would be easy to miss. But there is one in particular that I wanted to bring up because I think it also talks about the importance of not only practicing those aspects of hospitality when like we need it the most, but how God blesses us in ways that we often don't anticipate. And it's actually a story in 2020. So I know we don't always like going back and thinking about the things that happened during the pandemic, but this is a story about ways that we showed hospitality in the middle of a pandemic. I assume that as a congregation, I wasn't with you, but you probably were very creative in ways that you stuck together and tried to show hospitality in ways that you could when we had a lot of confinement and a lot of things, practices we were accustomed to were not able to do. When I was in Delano in 2020, and it became apparent that we were going to have to be creative a lot longer than any of us thought we'd have to be creative, right? You know, it wasn't going to be able to just go back to normal right away. In the summer, and this, God bless, everyone should just thank my husband for being willing to be married to me, because in the summer, I said to him, okay, Chad, this is what we're going to do this fall, and he always gets worried when he hears that. And I said, we're going to have a big congregational challenge where we're going to encourage people to show hospitality to one another in ways that we're socially distanced, responsible, all the things, so that we can encourage community and connection, and so that people know that they're not alone, you know, that people are cared for. And every time they do something for someone else in the congregation, they get a point. And with so many points, they have to spin a wheel, and then you and I have to do whatever the wheel says. And he said, say what? And I was like, you and I have to do whatever the wheel says. So we had this congregational challenge, and we gave them 2 months to contact kind of as many people as they can, or it also counted if you were showing, you know, acts of care to really anyone. It was just like, do something to show love, you know, in a time that we just needed extra help. And of course, I really had no idea what was happening throughout this whole challenge. But I knew that things were happening because I would get cards. So I figured people were doing things because I was getting contacted, or, you know, things were happening. And eventually then, at the contest ended at the beginning of November, and we got all the points, and they did a lot of stuff. So we had to spin the wheel a lot. and it was a good, it was a grand old time. And, you know, I was really pumped, because I was like, oh my goodness, look at how many points, look at how many times they passed the ball, this is great, they're so amazing. And it was amazing, and it was wonderful to see how well they cared for one another and showed grace. And because we were in this contest also going to lift up kind of some of the top point winners, and they would, you know, have like kind of different special awards, the time came when I found out people who had confessed, I should say, because some people didn't put in their points, but people who had confessed to showing their acts of hospitality. And the lay leader told me that the kind of the winners and their point totals, and a lot of them I kind of had guessed because they were part of the care team, or they were always the person who would, you know, make sure a thank you card was written or whatever the things. But the person who won surprised me, not because this wasn't an incredible woman. She lives in my pantheon of people I want to be like when I grow up. But I usually didn't see her doing the kind of more traditional care team kind of stuff. And so my lay leader explains, well, Janet actually won. She got the highest point total. And I kind of started getting a little weepy. And you'd say, you might think to yourself, well, why? And it's because in that particular time, Janet chose to commit to praying for every household of the congregation. And in her prayer practice, she would pray for the household, and then she would send a card. And she managed to get through the entire directory in 2 months, which is just incredible. And on top of that, why I got extra weepy was because I knew that her husband, who had been suffering with poor health for years, was in his final moments. And I just thought, Okay, that's like beyond remarkable. Like, that's just like otherworldly, you know? And I was so deeply moved, you know, that she had been doing this. I had no idea she was doing this, and she had committed to it. And yet, that wasn't even for me then the point that mattered the most. When I was talking with the lay leader about this, because you see, if you're listening to this story, I'm still thinking about basketball passes. I'm still thinking about counts, right? My lay leader explained to me that the reason Janet chose to do this was because it was a practice that she found that brought her great joy. Like, deep joy. In the midst of all the craziness that was unfolding. And, you know, that's not something we're all called to do. That's not something that we're all going to find brings us deep joy. But I thought about her choices and her witness and recognized about that joy. I thought, this is an awareness test. You know, that joy was like that moonwalking bear. You know, I'm so busy looking at all the stuff. But Janet knew how to recognize, identify, and hold on to joy amidst everything. Now, Janet is not always the kind of lady that is, in fact, if she saw a copy of this sermon, she would come to my house and probably scold me for having told you about what she does, because she's a real practical kind of lady. And she's real salt-of-the-earth kind of folk. And she's not, when I say joy, she's not like the kind of person that runs around like yippee-skippy happy lady. I mean like joy, like I can, you know, like that deep joy that nothing can assail. That's the kind of joy she was feeling. And I was so moved by this. And in the process of all of this happening and all the silliness that then came with the spinning of the wheel and the awards and all the silly things we did, you know, I kept thinking about Janet and so grateful for not only the ways that she was blessing the congregation, but that it was something that could bring her a sense of joy in the midst of suffering. All of this, as all of this was happening, a couple weeks then after the conclusion of the contest, but before we aired the awards, her husband did pass away. And by now we're in late November and still in a phase where everything is kind of getting down on lockdown again, and we get ready to have a parking lot service. You know, so here I am in late November, literally holding on to a stand to make sure the sound system doesn't fall over. and do this funeral. And the parking lot was just, it was just full. Okay. That's because, sorry, it's really beautiful. And the weirdest part for me, because I have been a part a lot of funerals, unfortunately. This does come with my job. Usually in funerals, you get to see and be with the people. But Janet wasn't necessarily going to get that. But they were all there. And it was like those angels unaware. Because I don't even know who came. You know? It just was, but it was that sea of people. And she wasn't alone. And those same people that brought her joy knew they could bring joy to her. And again, I think she'd be really mad that I'm telling this story, because she would tell me to get over myself. And I'll tell you this part too. This is not a joke, because we're not, you know, you're not eating food then, right? So everyone's stuck in their cars, and it's me and Janet and the funeral director, you know, kind of all spread apart. And before we go to the graveside, she comes and she gives me this brown bag full of food. She wanted to make sure that I'd be okay between the service to the graveside, because, you know, this is what you do. And, you know, she was incredibly sad, but yet her face just radiated when she gave me the bag. And, you know, I wasn't going to say, I don't need, you know, I took the bag, and, you know, it was like having communion, you know, because not only had I seen the face of God in her and experienced the real joy of being surrounded by angels, but I knew what it was like when someone was able to be aware of what it would take to let God be God, to be able to show an act of grace, and to remember that whenever we reach out to care, it is always remarkable. Amen.